Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
I'd forgotten what a good game this is.
Yes, I'd forgotten.
How long does it go on for?
Oh, ages.
Oh, goody, goody.
This is the Extra Hot Rate Podcast, episode for the week of 2020. I am answer haver David T. Cole, and I'm here with Monopoly slumlord Sarah D. Bunting.
I've got your treasure chest right here.
Parcheese and cracker Tara Ariano.
Gouda to be here.
And nine ready to win listener contestants.
Wow. Like eight participation trophies.
Great for kicking your butt.
Hey, hello everybody, and welcome to another listener game time tournament. Guess what? Guess what, those four people from the other time? All nine people decided to show up for this one. So I'm already starting everybody off with 10 Dave points.
Damn!
So congratulations to everybody today.
Yay.
We have nine people. They will play three first rounds. One versus one versus one, three times over. The winners of those first three rounds will play in the finals. But those who are vanquished in the first rounds will still have a role to play in that final round. So don't leave if you get knocked out in the first round. You still have things to do. And as a reminder, in all these game time tournaments, you may call on once around Sarah and once around Tara for a lifeline if you're not sure of an answer. With one exception, Tara has edited one of these games, so she cannot be a lifeline for our round three game. So round three, people, you're only going to get one lifeline. Sorry. All right, let's get right into it. Guys, do you know what time it is?
It's game time.
All right, everybody. Our first game time is MacGuffins from Mademoiselle Caroline, who earns herself an extra credit topic of her choosing. This first round game will challenge you to name a TV show from a description of a MacGuffin used in it. 3 points for naming the show off the bat, or 1 point after a character name hint. You only get one guess, so use it wisely. All right, let's start things off with Kate. Kate, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Excited to be here.
Our first question is to you, and it is, the main character of this show must find a way to steal his boss's watch before midnight if he wants to win the bet. His plan involves, to name a few, an actual pickpocket, a smoke grenade, a skiing colleague, and an exact replica of the watch. Do you know the show for 3 points?
I do indeed. That would be Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is correct. Nice start for Kate with 3 points. Now let's welcome in our neighbor, Joanna. Joanna, how you doing?
I'm here to make everyone else look better.
All right. Thank you in advance. What a selfless.
It's the Buncy.
Here is your MacGuffin. Name the show. In space.
Space!
Three different species are battling it out to find DNA fragments that, once put together, may solve a biological question which could explain the origins of them all.
I have no idea, so I'm going to go with Tara. Since it's space, I'm not going to go with Sarah.
Okay. Tara Ariano, you have been called for her lifeline, using it early. What do you think that TV show is?
Please repeat the question.
In space! Three different species are battling it out to find DNA fragments that, once put together, may solve a biological question which could explain the origins of them all.
Is this Battlestar Galactica?
All right, she has said Battlestar Galactica, and you can accept that answer, you can go at it on your own, or if you're not quite sure of anything, you still have that hint at your disposal at this moment in time.
I have zero idea, so I'll just go with Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica is incorrect. That was space. Star Trek The Next Generation. Space. Oh. And then you shake your fist.
Space.
Let's welcome in Vandy. Vandy, welcome to Extra Hot Great Listener Game Time. Are you ready for your first MacGuffin question?
I'm just here to make Joanna look better.
You guys are too polite. All right, here we go. In the pilot episode, a mysterious figure sets out to find an elusive target despite many before him dying in the process. With help of a robot, he will reach his goal and find the wanted, cute individual.
The Mandalorian?
The Mandalorian is correct. That was Baby Yoda there. Nicely done. All right, back to Kate. A brave hero and a few of his companions must abduct a living dead creature in a hostile environment in order to prove their existence to the skeptical queen of the realm.
A brave hero, undead creature. That's vampires? I don't know. I'm gonna go for it and say The Witcher.
That is a adjacent guess to Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones was the answer.
Damn it. That was the first one I thought. Oh, well.
All right, for Joanna. In this episode, the MacGuffin is hidden in a tomb, or more accurately, inside the mummified body of Alexander the Great. The main character must find it inside a dangerous maze before the villain uses it for evil purposes.
Again, I have zero idea, so I guess I'll take the hint.
Your character is Stephen Grant. Stephen Grant.
Benson.
Benson. That's not correct.
It's what your lifeline would have done, so.
Anybody know that one?
It's Moon Knight, Moon Knight. Right?
Moon Knight, yes.
Oh,
Knight.
Yeah, that guy.
Back to Vandy. The MacGuffin is an antique door knocker, which is deemed unsuitable for the building by the tyrannical Condo Association president. This would lead to an escalation of the conflict, resulting in the total humiliation of the main character.
Well, my first guess would be only murders in the building, but I'm not positive. But it sounds like it's set in New York, so I'm going to call for my Sarah D. Bunting lifeline.
I mean, I don't remember that aspect from Only Murders, but I don't think it's Seinfeld. Could I hear the question again, please, Dave?
The MacGuffin is an antique door knocker which is deemed unsuitable for the building by the tyrannical Condo Association president. This will lead to an escalation of the conflict, resulting in the total humiliation of the main character.
Humiliation of the main character? Yes. I mean, but there's more than one main character. Ugh.
I guarantee you have not seen this episode.
Yeah. Okay, then. Well, I just don't know, but I think it is not Only Murders in the Building, if that helps you at all.
All right.
Okay. I still get a hint, right?
You can ask for the hint, absolutely.
Yes, let me have the hint.
Martin Crane.
Oh, Frasier.
Yes, Frasier. Yes, that is correct. All right, back to...
Should know.
Kate.
You're Frasier.
Who is Frasier?
Yes.
A rich weapon manufacturer has been disgraced for allegedly selling his stuff to enemies of the United States. He enrolls the help of the title character to retrieve his stolen formula for molecular nitramine and clear his name. Molecular nitramine.
Molecular nitramine.
Oh, I had the case of the molecular nitramines yesterday, and I tell you.
A little penicillin. Clear that right up.
The last weapons dealer I remember is Tony Stark. Let me have the hint.
Your hint is Howard Stark.
Good hint.
Oh, well, Agent Carter.
Agent Carter. Nicely put together. Good for 1 point. Back to Joanna. Three characters leave the beach and set out in the jungle in an effort to find the crashed plane receiver as so to send a signal and hopefully be rescued.
Well, it's Lost or Gilligan's Island, right? Lost?
50-50, and she got it correct. It is Lost, yes. Vandy, a character who values his privacy above all, is dismayed to learn that his former assistant, whom he entrusted with a spare key to his house, can't remember where it is. A quest ensues in the government building they work in to find it.
I don't know this one. I will take the hint.
Your hint is April Ludgate.
Is this Parks and Rec?
It is Parks and Rec. That is good for 1 point. Nicely done. Kate, two main characters are called regarding a robbery of their father's storage unit and track down the robbers to find the item stolen is a cursed rabbit's foot. This cursed rabbit foot provides great luck until lost, and once lost, previous owner dies within a week.
That is so ridiculous. It sounds like Supernatural. So do I just guess Supernatural or do I go for the hint? Because I don't remember a lucky rabbit's foot, but I'm just going to be bold. Supernatural.
Wrong. Who made this game?
Oh, Madam Caroline. Oh, it is Supernatural.
It is Supernatural. Of course it's Supernatural. 3 points.
Ta-da.
All right, Supernatural is off the board, guys. Supernatural is off the board. Joanna, in order to defeat the beast, the gang has to find a sword on which an ancient order has left instructions. One member of the team has a vision that the sword is hidden in an alternate dimension conveniently located under Los Angeles. We got Beast.
I guess I'll
Sword,
take the hint.
We got Los Angeles. And for the hint, we got Cordelia Chase.
Oh, I should know that. I know that name, but I'm blanking completely. I don't know.
No? If you did know, it might have been a 50-50 because she was in both Buffy, but the answer we're looking for here, Angel. Angel was the show there. All right, this will take us into our first score break and probably about two-thirds of the way through our game. Vandy, the investigating duo finds a diary in the pocket of a dead body, giving clues to find the mysterious necklace, the Blue Butterfly. They must first solve a cold case from 1947 involving a hard-boiled private investigator. This obviously fires up the imagination of the creative main character.
Well, it sounds kind of X-Files-y, but I'm not positive, so give me the hint, please.
Your character hint is Javier Esposito.
That was not helpful. So I will ask Tara for.
Oh no! Oh. I have no idea. I thought it was Bones, but I don't think there's anyone named bad on Bones.
Well, I'm gonna guess Bones anyway.
All right, Bones anyways, but no, it's not Bones. Sorry. Anybody know the answer there?
Is it Psych?
It's not Psych, but I understand Castle? Where you're going there.
Yep.
Castle?
The middle
Castle.
Man?
Castle.
Castle. The other
Castle.
Bones.
Castle.
The other
Bones. Junior.
Bones.
Wow. Bones.
All right. Everybody has two questions left, so let's get the scores, please.
Well, it's pretty close. Joanna has 3. Vandy has 5. Kate is in the lead with 7.
All right. Let's get right back into it with Kate's next question. And the MacGuffin in this sitcom is a lost pen. Is a pretext to make a bottle episode. The characters are confined in the library by the high-strung member of the study group who will not let them go out to see the puppy parade unless the pen thief confesses.
That has got to be Community.
That has got to be Community, yes. 3-point answer there to Joanna. In this sci-fi remake, Earth is a MacGuffin location. The whole crew is searching for it to finally settle down. After many ordeals, they eventually find it, but are left speechless when the Earth they find proves to be a desolate, radioactive, lifeless world.
I have no idea. Lost in Space.
Incorrect. Anybody know this one?
Is this Battlestar 100?
That one's Battlestar Galactica, yeah.
Okay, there.
All right, Vandy. A retired superhero must go back into the fray and ally himself with a young girl who idolizes him as to find a watch that contains information that could endanger members of his family if found by the wrong people.
Another watch.
Yeah, this game is secretly just about watches. So once again, a retired superhero must go back into the fray and ally himself with a young girl who idolizes him. They must find a watch that contains information that could endanger members of his family if found by the wrong people.
Oh, this is Hawkeye.
This is Hawkeye.
Yeah, the second read I got there.
All right, last question for everybody coming up, Kate. Sophie leads a quickly improvised con to retrieve a stolen genetically engineered potato from a highly secure agribusiness headquarters. The con involves her taking the role of a hitter instead of her usual grifter part, while the others must infiltrate the building using school children on a field trip as their way in.
Ah, that's leverage.
That's leverage, yes. Last question.
I like MacGuffins. You can tell.
For Joanna. This is also question 17.
Spread Eagle.
Thank you.
Spread Eagle.
When someone steals the main character's high school mascot, Polly the Parrot, she goes undercover at the rival school, Pan High, to retrieve it. To her surprise, she kind of likes it better there since they don't have to deal with the constant friction between the have-nots and the 1%.
This is another... I haven't seen any of the shows that have been in this game.
You got a hint.
I think your other hint giver knows this.
You do have a lifeline.
Sarah
D. Bunting.
This is Veronica Mars.
She says confidently. Do you want to go with her answer?
That was the show I was trying to think the name of. So yes, I will go with Veronica Mars.
That is correct. That is good for 3 points on Veronica Mars. Good use of the lifeline. All right, last question of regulation is for Vandy. The girls are desperate to find Frank Sinatra tickets. Unfortunately, it's sold out. All of them devise different strategies to get their hands on some. All of them return home with tickets, but then they decide to scalp the extra ones and end up getting arrested by the police and missing the show.
Frank Sinatra?
Yeah, he was a singer.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome, Benny.
So good to me.
Just giving out the extra hints.
The girls are desperate to find Frank Sinatra concert.
Was he a good singer? Because that would be an actually helpful hint.
All of them return home with tickets. They decide to scalp the extra ones and get arrested for it, missing the show.
Well, I'm pretty sure Kate has clinched this anyway, so I'll just go ahead and take the hint.
Sophia Petrello is your character hint.
And that is also unhelpful.
What?
Oh no.
Mrs. Maisel?
Sarah
D. Bunny, what's that show?
Yeah, Sarah.
Picture it. That's the Golden Girls.
That's the Golden Girls, yes. All right, that is regulation. Tara, final scores at the end of regulation.
Joanna finished with 6, Vandy had 8, and she was right about Kate. Kate is our victor with 13!
Wow, nicely done. Well played, everybody. That is our MacGuffin game. Kate, you're moving on to the finals. Joanna, woo! Vandy, you stick around. You still have a role to play, but let's give it up for Kate.
Valued guest.
Guys, you know what time it still is?
It's game time.
It's still game time.
Game time. Yeah. Game time.
All right, everybody. Our second game time is Blah from our friend David Ellis Dickerson, a.k.a. Word Boy, who earns himself an extra credit topic of his choosing. This one is pure Q&A. I will give you a description of how a TV show portrayed a vampire or vampire-like entity. You name the show. No hints. I'll ask you a question, you know it, or you don't. That's it. He doesn't mess around, this Word Boy. Well, let's get right into it. Our first question is for Mr. Taylor Cole. Taylor Cole, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am fine. Taylor Cole, host of the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. If this is not giving you your fill of pop culture trivia, check out more there, usaquizshow.com.
They talk about EDM.
All right.
Every once in a while.
Taylor, here is your first vampire question. In an episode entitled Bad Blood, our investigators wind up in a small town where everyone is a vampire. These vamps walk around in daylight and eat normal food, but they still have their bloodlust and their compulsion to count things, which comes in handy when one investigator delays a vampire attack by throwing a bag of sunflower seeds at their assailant. What's that show?
I don't get a free guess, correct?
You get one guess and one guess only.
There's no hint.
There's no hints.
And there's no hint. Oh, well, if there's counting and vampires, I'm going to say Sesame Street. that's not it? Oh, no.
There's no steel mills, are there?
There are no steel mills, but please, for shits and giggles, shout out the answer here.
X-Files,
that's the X-Files, yes.
Oh, okay.
I very much want to see those two things combined. I want to see that character in that X-Files episode. For
X
sure.
is for X-Files.
One sunflower seed.
I mean, the counting thing is vampire lore. That's why the count is the count.
Mm-hmm. I learned something new today.
There you go.
Welcoming now, Brennan, champion of our first ever Listener Game Time tournament, defending his title. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
All right, ready for your first vampire question?
Oh, yeah.
On this show, this purple vampire's title is also his last name. It is also what he does.
Now let me think. What could this be?
What show?
Darla!
I'll just venture a guess and say Sesame Street?
Yeah, maybe, yes. Count Van Count from Sesame Street. Oops. All right, Erica, welcome. How you
Hello.
Doing?
Hello. I just found out that I'm playing against the host of the quiz, the pop culture quiz show, and the previous champion, so I'm great.
All right. Well, you know, there's this trend where people are coming here only to make other people look better. So, you know, it seems to be
serve.
A thing.
Yeah.
Also, you are currently tied with Taylor, so if that helps.
Yeah, you're going to knock it out of the park. Here is your first vampire question. As you might expect, vampires on this show are very similar to the classic Victorian vampire from the period's literature. They dwell in dark places, act like animals, and can be killed by regular bullets, like you may find in, say, a Wild West show. Their leader, Dracula, is apparently Lucifer's brother.
That's going to be Penny Dreadful.
It is Penny Dreadful. See?
Nice.
See?
Yay. I did it.
You're in first place. Back to Taylor Cole. Who's in last place? In this series' final episode entitled Transylvania, January 1918, our youthful swashbuckler meets Dracula himself. Well, Vlad, anyways.
What show has a youthful swashbuckler?
Seriously.
Early 20th century. I truly have no idea. And I think I'm going to save my lifeline, so I am going to pass.
Anybody know this one?
Is this that Bruce Campbell show?
Briscoe County Jr.?
Oh, no. Is it not
Jones?
That one?
Is it the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles?
It is the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Hey,
wow.
Oh, shit.
Whew. All right, back to Brennan.
Cool.
In the episode Smith and Jones, a blood-sucking alien called a plasmavore is impervious to sunlight, looks completely human, and shows up on scanners as whatever species it most recently drank from. The fourth piece of information. Is hiding from other aliens in a hospital on the moon.
Okay. So my initial guess was going to be correct. So that would be Doctor Who.
Yeah, it is Doctor Who. Apologies, I almost missed that baffling last bit of that clip.
That's what cinched it for me right there. If it wasn't for the moon, I'd be like, that could be anything. And it's like, moon? Oh, okay, Dr. Who.
I had no idea. It was like, I don't remember that episode of For All Mankind, but...
The aliens look like rhinoceroses in, like, a combat boots. It's very weird.
I'm not a crackpot, but everything that takes place on the moon in pop culture should actually be canonically one thing.
Mm.
Like, it all should be grouped under one show
mm-hmm.
called The Vampire Moon or something like that.
Okay.
I'm not crap. All right, let's get back to it, Erica. The first episode of this show, it is explained that in order to turn into a vampire, they first have to drink your blood, then you have to drink their blood. It's a whole, like, blood-sucking thing.
This is the 50-50, so I'm pretty sure this is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
That's your answer? What's the other 50?
The other is Angel, but it was Angel before.
Well, you picked correctly.
So, yeah.
So that is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. All right, back to Mr. Taylor Cole. Let's get you on the board. In an episode of this show, a girl named Buffy Sanders, a member of a vampire sorority, was bitten by a mutated bat from a cave with meteor rock infected stalactites. This is great. She's vaporized by Lana using heat vision she gained after biting her boyfriend.
Okay, there's some good data in there. Lana, yeah. Meteor. Lana,
meteor. Man, I am just not on it today. But given that Tara seems to know what it is, I am calling on Tara as my lifeline in this.
All right. I believe that is Smallville.
Smallville.
I will go with that. Smallville.
Yeah. Lana is from Smallville, and that is the correct answer.
Thank you, Tara.
You're welcome.
Back to Brennan. The family in this sitcom is comprised of half vampires and half werewolves. The grandpa in particular can turn to either a bat or a wolf.
I will go with the, what I think is the Munsters.
You are correct. Nice. It is the Munsters. Yes.
Right.
Erica, in an episode called The Purge, our two heroes encounter a fish taco, a fat-sucking vampire from Peru. At first, they assume she is evil. However, it turns out she is simply using her fat-suckling abilities to help people lose weight. Aw.
I can't even begin to venture a guess.
A pish taco, perhaps that is pronounced. Not that it matters, but.
No, not so much. Tara, you got anything for me?
No. Is this like, all I'm thinking of is Reaper, but I'm not confident.
Oh yeah, that thing.
I never watched Reaper. That sounds a little whimsical. But sure, my only other guess is Kim Possible, so I'm going to go with Reaper. Let's see.
All right, Reaper is your guess, and
yes,
it is not correct.
That's all right.
That is the second appearance of Supernatural today. That is from Supernatural. All right, we are back to Taylor. This show has somewhat familiar vampires, except that vampirism is spread by virus-carrying worms. Vampires also have a long tongue with a stinger at the end and appear on videos and in reflections, although their images seem to vibrate in silver mirrors. That sounds ridiculous.
This is not a show I have seen.
Yeah.
But when you say virus, and I remember the posters for the show had long, pointy tongues, I'm going to guess The Strain.
You are correct. I thought the billboard you remember was the worm going into a person's eye, which is the ones that were all over LA at the time. And not good.
God, they were disgusting.
No bueno.
I'm impressed that he didn't work in something about Corey Stoll's wig. Which is still one of the biggest wig crimes in TV wig history.
It really was.
It really was.
Thrown out of a passing car onto his head. Why?
All right, Brennan. In the episode Bats, with an exclamation point, the characters have to deal with vampire fruit bats that are sucking the juice out of an apple crop. The friend's plan to hypnotize the bats backfires when the bats turn one of the main characters into an apple-sucking vampire as well. It is not clear whether this is ever completely reversed, but it's cute and harmless either way.
I've never seen this episode, so I will call on Tara for this.
It's a tough one. I don't know if this is in anybody's wheelhouse on the panel today, but we'll see.
I'm so sorry. I don't know, but I'm going to say Dark Shadows, even though it's wrong, because it's fun.
Dark Shadows is the suggestion.
The suggestion. I will go with Teletubbies. Why not?
You are much closer with Teletubbies than Dark Shadows. Anybody want to take a crack at it? Lindsay? She's got kids.
Phineas and Ferb?
No, it's not, but you're on the right track.
Is it My Little Pony?
It is My Little Pony. It is a cartoon with My Little Pony.
Jeez. Holy cow. Oh, sorry, God. Brennan.
All right, Erica, your next question.
Yeah, sorry.
In this show, most vampires are animalistic, decaying undead that don't last long. Our title hero is the main exception, having survived for 400 years with a human appearance. Apparently, this is due to his carefully selecting his victims and feeding on not just their blood, but also their knowledge. Being a rich investor probably helps, too.
Okay, I thought I had a guess until I got to that last one. Is this... Oh, crud. Is this just Dracula? Like, the blah?
It is just it Dracula. Is. It is the titular Dracula from Blah, the wise stock market investing Dracula. Frankly, the best Dracula of them all. Well, everybody has one question left. Tara, let's get scores.
Okay, it's really, really close. Taylor has two. Brennan and Erica are tied with three.
Oh, pressure. Ooh.
All right. A theoretical three-way tie is possible. Let's see how it plays out with Taylor's last question. The hideous monster in this show is called the M113 creature in the original script, although the show's fans call it a salt vampire. It drains salt, not blood, from human bodies, and it has the ability to look like its victim's ideal love object.
What in the world?
I'm telling you this much. I know Eric knows this one. And you know Eric.
I do.
So there's a little really connect the dots 14 times sort of hint for you.
The problem is when I think of like pop culture stuff I know about Eric, I know he's a big Sondheim guy, and that is not helping me right now with this salt vampire nonsense. Salt.
Well,
vampire.
I guess you weren't paying attention in Sunday in the Park with George.
Yeah. Send in the clouds.
I am going to go out on a limb and guess that this is Warehouse 13.
Wow, that is a deep cut guess. Not right, but I love right. That swing. Eric, what is this show?
This is Star Trek, the original series.
Yes, Star Trek, the salt vampire. All right, Brennan, your last question is, there is only one traditional vampire in this Canadian show, and it, like practically everyone else, is an evil fae creature. This is probably why he isn't bothered by sunlight. The main character of this show is a succubus, however, which is sort of like a vampire, but for sex.
And this is bad because I'm Canadian and I don't know this show. Oh no.
I'll read it one more time while you stall for an answer. There is one traditional vampire in this Canadian show, and it, like practically everyone else, is an evil fae creature, and this is probably why he isn't bothered by the sunlight. The main character of this show is a succubus, however, which is sort of like a vampire, but for sex. Blah.
Blah, indeed. Dale and Tucker saved the universe? I don't know.
Incorrect. Anybody out there know that one?
Lost Girl.
On Sci-Fi,
yeah,
cult, I can't.
Cult hit Lost Girl is correct.
Oh, Lost Girls. I was like, Forever Night? I hope that's not the answer for that.
Based Readers?
I mean, Canadian vampire shows. You wouldn't think there's more than one, but yeah, you're right. It could have been Forever
Night. Flashpoint
is in that column. All right, last question in regulation is for Erica. In this unusual episode, our hero enters the body of a vampire. He's skeptical about the existence of vampires and thinks it's only a man with a vampire fetish. Our hero's virtual computer-enhanced sidekick, however, thinks vampires are real. The truth is left unknown.
Okay. So this sounds like Quantum Leap.
Okay.
Can I hear it again, please?
In this unusual episode, our hero enters the body of a vampire. He's skeptical about the existence of vampires, and he thinks that only a man with a vampire fetish. Our hero's virtual computer-enhanced sidekick, however, thinks vampires are real. The truth is left unknown.
Sarah?
I would guess Quantum Leap as well. I think you should go with your instincts.
I'm going to go with Quantum Leap then.
Quantum Leap vampire episode? Surely, yes!
Yay! Oh boy!
Absolutely!
I do not remember this episode at all.
We haven't gotten to that
it's
one
terrible.
Yet.
Kind of want to watch that. And I'm glad it wasn't Knight Rider. Also,
this was a very close game, and everyone did great. Taylor finished with 2. Brennan 3. Erica 4 points.
All right, we know nice. We were going to have a new champion today. But let's see how it all plays out. Congratulations, Erica, for winning the vampire game. Blah.
Valued guest.
All right, guys. Do you know what time it still is?
It's game time.
Do you know what time it still is?
Game time.
All right, our third and final round of our elimination session is called I Do, I Do, I Do, I Don't. It is from AnthroBuzz in Australia, who earns himself an extra credit topic. He writes, weddings and TV shows usually do what they're supposed to do, be magical and over the top and unite fan favorite couples in holy matrimony and provide the viewers with a sense of, I want that for me. But TV weddings can also be a holy hot mess where everything goes wrong. You'll be given the details of a wedding and you need to tell me the characters that are ready to say I do or I don't with a bonus point for naming the show. So three possible points. I want the character names of the couple getting married and I want the show in question. I'm going to be pretty flexible with how much information you give me on character names. You don't have to name like the whole fucking character with their middle name and all that jazz. All right. All that makes sense. Let's get right into it with our third and final batch of contestants. Let's start things off with Eric. Eric, how are you doing today?
I'm all right.
Are you ready for your first wedding question?
Well, we had questions about MacGuffins and vampires, and I didn't get either of those rounds. I get the wedding round.
Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Well, you're qualified. All right, let's do it. The London Wedding Chapel has been destroyed. A few hundred well-placed candles improve things, but can't fix the groom saying his ex-girlfriend's name during his vows. So we want the name of the two characters at that wedding and the name of the show. Don't forget, you have lifelines. You can use those lifelines at any point. You can just ask somebody right now to give you all three pieces of information, yours to use as you choose. I will ding and buzz you on each piece of information.
Okay, so it was Ross. I am blanking on the bride.
The show?
So I'll save that. The show is Friends.
All right, so you just have one character left.
Jennifer.
Jennifer is incorrect. We were looking for Ross and Emily. Emily. All right, let's welcome in our second contestant for our third round. Tarn, how you doing, Tarn?
I'm great, Dave. How are you?
I am good. Let's do it. This couple ditched the church and have an impromptu exchanging of vows aboard the Maid of the Mist before returning to the church to have a second ceremony, which is interrupted by guests copying a viral video in the aisle.
Jim and Pam from The Office.
Yes, Jim and Pam from The Office. I'll just ding you twice for all 3 points there. Boom, boom, boom.
Submitted to the canon by my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Believe.
All right. Well, let's welcome Lindsay. Lindsay, how you doing today?
Doing well.
Yeah, all right. Way to sell it. All right.
It's been a long day of not eating.
You need to have a snack. You need a snack? All right, let's do it. This much-anticipated wedding almost never happened when the groom's sister, Jocelyn, tells the bride that because she is paid to look after his kids, their marriage will never work. Let's not forget the groom's longtime business partner making one last failed attempt to claim his heart.
I don't know. I never watched it, but that sounds kind of like The Nanny.
You're in it now.
All right. Nanny is the correct show. Let's hear the character names if you know them. You also have a lifeline if you want to use it.
Fran Fine and Mr. Sheffield.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah.
Nice. Pulled it out of the
blood
fire.
Blood sugar for the win.
Nicely done, Lindsay.
Okay.
Back to Eric. The bride is glowing in a reworked old wedding dress, but things go awry when the father of the bride shows up at the church high and announces that the groom is using heroin again.
I'm going to go with my Tara lifeline here.
All right, Tara, do you
I
know
can't.
This show?
This is the one I edited.
Oh, yeah. You have to go with Sarah.
Right. Okay, so I'll go with my Sarah lifeline.
Oh, God. Can I hear the question again, please?
The bride is glowing in a reworked old wedding dress, but things go awry when the father of the bride shows up at church high and announces that the groom is using heroin again.
I mean, this does not sound familiar to me. I guess it could be justified, but I am not confident in that answer, and I apologize that I'm not more knowledgeable about the black tar weddings of television.
All right, she's giving you justified as part of your answer. You can go with that, come up with your own.
Pretty sure it's not justified. I'm going to say Oz.
It's incorrect.
I love that answer.
I mean, you're not going to get the rest of it, so I'll just buzz you out there. You don't know the show. What's the show?
Shameless.
It is Shameless. That is Fiona and Sean from Shameless. All right, back to Tarn.
Sorry.
The scheduled minister drops dead of a heart attack. The backup is a drunk who hates weddings. Diane fights with the caterers, and vicious Dobermans are keeping everyone inside in fear of being mauled.
I did a rewatch of this. Is this Woody and Kelly from Cheers?
That is absolutely all pieces nice. Of information we need. 3 points there.
Wow.
Whew. All right. Back to Lindsay. In this fifth season finale, the wedding between a wealthy American family and high-class European royalty is interrupted mid-ceremony when the venue is stormed by mass terrorists who pepper the guests with bullets.
Crap! That nighttime soap.
That nighttime soap. Probably a good
Sarah,
start.
Sarah, which one was it? Shit. Shoot.
Oh my God.
You can swear.
No, you can fucking swear on this shit.
Okay, good.
God, can I hear the clue again, please? Not the Doberman's. Just kidding.
That was the last question, you dick. All right. In this fifth season,
I'm in fear of being
in this fifth, fuck off. In this fifth season finale, the wedding between a wealthy American family and a high-class European royalty is interrupted mid-ceremony when the venue is stormed by mass terrorists who pepper the guests with Dobermans.
No. Pepper the guests with Dobermans. Oh my God. That nighttime soap.
Yeah.
That the fuck girls love, she already said.
Yeah. But I can't.
Crap.
Start naming nighttime soap.
I mean, yeah, Dynasty. It's like it's usually Dynasty, but then
with Dynasty. That's the one that popped into my head.
All right, Dynasty suggested, Dynasty accepted, Dynasty answered.
Okay.
Now, can you name the characters?
Someone Colby?
No.
Someone Carrington?
Yeah, but who? I'm not going to give you that.
Alexis Carrington.
Right letter. Amanda Carrington and Prince Michael.
Okay. I'm sure.
Whew, that was a journey, but you got some points there. So.
Oh.
All right.
Sorry, you're all stuck with me on this round.
That's halfway. So let's get the scores, please.
Okay, Eric has 2, Lindsay has 4, Tarn is in the lead with 6.
All right, let's get right.
I have a Doberman.
Back into it. Eric, waking up on her wedding day with actual blocks of ice for feet, the bride receives a visit from Doubt, who provides her with her groom's soul stone. After realizing hers doesn't match his, she runs out of the church and into the arms of her one true love. Is this too close to your own wedding? Is that why you're having trouble?
Very much. Is this Once Upon a Time?
That is a great
That's
guess.
That's a really good guess.
It is not.
Okay.
Is this the other one? Anybody know this one? This is Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the original one.
Huh.
All right, Tarn. The groom's tuxedo is missing and the bride looks like Zorro with her marker mustache. But the bride and groom get to say I do while his hand is stuck in the toilet.
Is this Wings?
It is Wings.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Getting all my good old sitcoms here. I like this. Helen and Joe.
Yes.
Wow.
That is amazing. I thought that was going to be a 0 point.
Great job.
Nicely done. Wow. All right, Lindsay. The groom is late to his wedding due to the incarceration in Tomato Country until the bride bails him out. Guests at the church spend the wait singing Let's Call the Whole Thing Off.
Sarah's shaking her head too. So Benson.
Benson.
And it was Benson and the Maid.
No, it is not Benson and the Maid. Anybody know this one out there in the
I edited this one and I already forget what the answer is.
You'd think it's something in Tomato Country, I would know, but
I know.
Yeah.
Answer we're looking there. Full House. Full House.
Oh.
Sure. Okay. All right.
Who is it?
Sure.
Oh, it's Jesse and
Jesse and Rebecca.
Oh, Jesse and What's Her Nuts.
Yes, yeah. What's Her Nuts. I would not have accepted What's Her Nuts, but I think I know who you're talking
Laughlin.
About. Yeah, exactly. Yes. All right, last question for each of you coming at you, starting with Eric. The bride's wedding vows have been accidentally scrubbed off her hand, and she's guilted into wearing a choker gifted from the groom's mother. Sensing her hesitation, the groom calls the whole thing off.
I feel like I just watched this, but I cannot remember what it was. I don't know.
Anybody out there knows this one?
The choker Grey's makes
Anatomy?
Me think it's
Grey's Anatomy. Yes, Grey's Anatomy.
Okay, oh, I did not boy. Just watch this.
If you just watched it, it could have been lost in, you know, the 10,000 episodes of that show. So you'd be forgiven for not knowing that particular one. All right, Tarn, last question coming at you. The surgery the groom is performing runs so far over time that he misses the whole wedding. The couple end up marrying in a hospital room officiated by the groom's recovering patient, a priest.
I would have guessed Grey's Anatomy for that one. But...
yeah, no repeat answers in okay. this game.
I guess I will reach out to my lifeline, Sarah, for this one.
I mean, I don't. It's not Grey's Anatomy, and there's no ghost involved, so that's pretty safe. I mean, I would guess Scrubs if it were me.
All right, so you're suggesting Scrubs. Do you want to accept that answer or go out on your own?
I'll try Scrubs.
All right, Scrubs. Correct. And,
hey!
Oh, yay. Thank you, Sarah.
With a Scrubs question, I finally got one right. I'm glad it was on someone else's behalf.
Do you know who got married in this episode of Scrubs, Tarn?
Is it Carla and Turk?
It is Carla and Turk. Nice. Another full answer. Nicely
Took
done.
Took a village.
Last question of regulation for Lindsay. The ruthless villain, the Wedding Destroyer, breaks out of prison seeking revenge on the couple that sent her there 3 years ago. Her plan to kill the bride with an electric shock-inducing wedding ring is thwarted, and the couple are married by a guardian angel named Mike. That sounds ridiculous.
Oh my God.
And amazing.
That's also not Grey's Anatomy.
No, I was thinking of The Tick until we got to the Guardian Angel part, and then it just all went off the rails.
The Wedding Destroyer is very tickish. You're right.
Could also be the middleman until we got to the angel. I don't know. That stupid witch show had angels. Charmed.
Charmed.
It's a good guess.
Yeah, that is a good guess. That is incorrect. Guess. Anybody know this one?
I would have gone Buffy, but...
No.
Is this Supernatural again?
No, it's not
Gotham.
Supernatural.
Okay.
That Gotham. Is
the wedding of Clark Kent and Lois Lane from Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of
oh
Superman.
God.
So The Tick and Gotham are pretty good guesses.
They were in the general vicinity. Yeah, not bad guesses at all. That is end of regulation. Can I please get our final scores, Tarn?
Yes. Eric is closing it out with 2. Lindsay has 4. Tarn... far ahead with 12. Good job,
wow,
Tarn.
12. Nicely
it's
done.
Tarn.
I think that's a perfect game, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
I think
all
so.
Right, way to go, Tarn.
Valued guest.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
All right. It's time to see who's going to take it all home. Guys, do you know what? For the final time today, time it is.
Game time forever!
It's game time! All right, guys, this is it to see who's going to take home all the marbles. Our final game is Change That Tune from Danielle Johnson, who earns himself an extra credit topic. This game involves identifying TV shows that have changed their theme songs at some point during their run. I will play you a clip, 30 seconds long, of the lesser-known theme that this show used. You get to guess for 3 points. If you do not get it correct, you then may ask the two people you beat in your first round for suggestions. Answer then for 2 points. If you still get it wrong, I will play you a 10-second snippet of the more well-known theme, after which the answer is worth 1 point. Any questions here? All right. Nope. Let's start with our round one winner, Kate. Are you ready for your first 30-second lesser-known theme version?
Let's hear it.
Here we go.
Right till we got to the end there, I was like, oh, it's a cop show of some kind. Watch it be a cop show.
There's at least one cop show out there that people sing. I know that much.
Yeah, that's true. It's not that show. Sarah and Adam have not watched Cop Rock.
All right, so, you get a free guess here, so you can just throw something willy-nilly if you're not
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, okay, free guess here. Baywatch Nights.
Whoops. Sorry, wrong one. No, that's not correct. Sorry. I pressed the wrong button. I'm very sorry. I pressed the wrong one. Okay, hang on.
That would have been the best thing ever.
I'm very sorry. Yeah. That was such a fucking tease. Okay. That's a good outtake, though. Okay. Incorrect. Let's throw it. Suggestions from Kate's round one Vanquish folks.
Anything, you guys?
I got nothing.
My guess was going to be Baywatch Original Recipe.
I love that we have this synchronicity. It's because we're, you know, geographically close.
Baywatch has your one and only suggestion here. What do you think?
Seriously, though, it makes me think conspiracy theory that you slipped up because I said Baywatch first, and then when I said night.
Look, I'm telling you, I would never do that.
No.
I'm a professional.
No, it's okay. I'm just gonna.
Can I make another suggestion?
And I can just guess here too, yeah. So
yeah, you can make Bandy, you can make all the suggestions you want.
Other suggestions?
My other thought was maybe Miami Vice.
Let's go with that. Miami right. Vice.
Miami Vice is your second guess. Incorrect.
Yes. Well, I would have
here,
done
here is your 10-second clip. All right.
You hate to hear it.
1 point answer opportunity here. What's that show?
I have no idea.
Guess something. God. For the love of God, guess something.
Wait.
You don't know what it is, but you gotta know what it is. All right, gonna need an answer.
Baywatch. No,
Baywatch is the right answer. You were so close to the first one. Bandy was right on the second part, but you got it with your 1 point.
My conspiracy was right.
Oh, man. What a journey. Holy shit. Okay, that was great.
Once, yes. Okay. All right.
That is a great way to start off
torturing.
This round.
Oh, my God.
Erica, are you ready for your first theme?
I am, sir.
Here we go. There's a lesser known theme from some point in this show's run. What do you think that is? This one's for you only, Erica.
Oh my god. I have no idea. So I'll go with something that's just fun to say, and that's Beverly Hills 90210.
You are correct. That is Beverly Hills 90210.
That is fun to say.
Nice.
Glad this shirt can help again.
Yes, Sarah is wearing her Beverly Hills 90210 shirt. It's coming up a lot today. All right. Nicely done. That is full point answer, too. All right, let's get to Tarn. Tarn, are you ready for your first lesser-known theme? There.
Sounds very classy. Not like wings or my soldiers.
Oh man, that would be great if it was, though, right? All right, you can take a wild stab if you're not sure, and then we can move on to your vanquished foe's help.
All right, how about Madman?
Madman is incorrect. All right, opening it up to your vanquished foes. Suggestions for Tarn.
I don't think it ever changed, but it sounds X-Files-Z to me.
All right. X-Files being put out there? Anything else?
I have no idea. It sounds like a mystery show, like Mystery on PBS or something.
All right. Mystery, X-Files. You want to go with one of those, Tarn? You want to throw out another wild guess?
I'll try X-Files.
Incorrect. Here is your 10-second more known theme.
Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're gonna go in the whole thing.
All right, there is your short snippet. Do you know the show?
That's so different. Righteous Gemstones?
That is incorrect. Anybody out there know that one?
It's the Leftovers.
That is the Leftovers.
Yes,
yeah, those things have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah.
All right, back to Kate. Are you ready for your next big lesser-known theme clip?
Oh my god, sure.
There it is. Wow. Any idea what that show could be?
Pretty sure that's Lost in Space.
Is that your answer?
Yes.
You sounded hesitant, but...
I am not hesitant. Wow. I watched it a lot.
Lost in Space!
Indeed. Wow. Yes, John Williams there with scores for Lost in Space. All right, let's move back to Erica. Are you ready for your next theme?
Yes.
Grooving on Zoom right now. All right, that is the lesser known theme to what show?
Okay, well, that is some 70s nonsense happening right there. It sounds like needs to calm down. golly Moses. Starsky and Hutch.
I do like that guess. All right, vanquished foe help time.
Taylor, Brennan, what do you got for me?
I have no idea. My gut is telling me Charlie's Angels or Magnum PI are the first two I thought of. Kind of similar action-y but big scale vibe.
Those
are the two that I would suggest.
Yeah.
My suggestions from 70s is like Hawaii 5-0 or SWAT or something like that. It seems kind of in the vein of.
Okay, so those are four suggestions. I like all of them. I'm going to go. I think I heard some door kicking down at the end there. Magnum PI.
Magnum PI is the answer. No.
Oh, okay.
It is all not. Right. All right, here is your 10-second more well-known version of the theme.
Okay, I'm furious because I know this and I cannot pull it. This is a heartbreaker. I can't hear that last clip again.
Sure.
Can I?
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay, all right. I don't remember. As soon as you tell me, I'm going to kick myself in the head. Sorry.
Anybody out there know it?
Is it Cagney and Lacey?
Hill Street Blues.
It is Cagney and Lacey, yes.
Nice. Of course it's Cagney and Lacey. Gosh darn it.
All right. Second question for Tarn. Are you ready?
Yes.
Home. Is this my home? Been starting
very dramatic. They said home, so I'm going to say homeland.
Homeland is not correct. Let's throw it open to your helpers.
I wish.
I know it. I can picture the opening credits, and I can't think of the fucking show. I just
visualize. Explain the opening credits.
A beach? I swear I see like it over a beach. I that's all I see is like ocean waves rolling in on a beach. And I want to say John from Cincinnati.
But well, it only had one season, yeah. So I don't think it had
exactly.
time.
So no.
Yeah. All right. What do you think, Tarn, for your second guess?
Thinking of beach, let's try Lost. I know the song, but I don't know the show.
All right, this is for Erica only. No chiming in. What's the song?
God Only Knows, I think, by the Beach Boys.
Used on
Happy
what show?
Days. Oh, Happy Days.
Happy Days. Incorrect. Lindsay, you know this.
Oh, it's Big Love. It was the snow globe that I was thinking of, not the beach.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Back to Kate. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
All right. Who used that song?
There's the song. We all know the song, but what show used it?
Yes.
As a theme.
Wonderful World.
It's not the theme we associate with the show, but...
Ironically, because it's a shitty world, or did they use it well because it's a happy world? The Wonder Years.
The Wonder Years.
Guess that.
Correct. Let's throw it open to your helpers. Any ideas
Anything?
There?
Anything? Jonna?
Something in the 90s.
Andy? I mean, yes. I would go, yes. something 90s. So nothing? No? No ideas?
Maybe Malcolm in the Middle?
No, that's always been They Might Be Giants, I think.
It does seem like a family show kind of thing, but...
Married with Children?
All right, we'll need an answer here.
Yeah, well, let's go with that. Married with Children.
All right, here is the more well-known version of that.
It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper page. And love and tradition of the grand design, some people say.
All right. Kate, what do you think?
Is it that show with Kyle Chandler with the news? Early edition? Is that what it's called?
It is not. It is from the 90s. Joanna had that part right. Anybody know it?
It's Family Matters.
Family Matters.
Nope.
No.
It's Family
Matters. What I said. Oh. Okay. All right. Erica, are you ready?
Sure.
All right. Here we go.
I Dream of Jeannie?
Yes, that is I Dream of Jeannie.
Gorgeous.
It was that sound effect.
Yep.
Nice job.
Nicely done. It is again on the second one. Yeah, nicely done. Damn, I didn't think everyone was going to get that one.
Wait, whose was that? Sorry.
Erica.
Erica, good job.
All right, Tara. Are you ready? Here you go.
Old shows, they change.
All right, so there is the lesser known 30 second clip. Any guesses what that show could be?
Sounds kind of like let's try Bonanza.
Holy cow.
So the one you heard is from later in the season's run where it was getting a little long in the tooth and they thought they would jazz it up with something the kids like. And that was what they came up with. So, wow.
Terrible
again,
decision.
Yeah.
Super surprised that one got a full point answer. I was not expecting that.
Nice. Well, oh boy. That's
done.
Awesome.
Dang. All right, Tara, let's get a score update, please.
Okay, it's pretty close. Tarn has 3, Kate has 4, Erica has 6.
Ooh, all right. Let's get right back into it with and giving everyone, which I think is probably the 3 easiest in this game. So we'll start you off.
Oh, don't say that. Well, GTV.
Yeah,
come on.
If you don't get it, frankly, something's wrong with you. All right. Starting with Kate, here you go.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Hey, glad, glad, John. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes 1. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that's Happy Days.
Big black gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. If you're so right, you can't be wrong.
That really is a good theme song.
Correct, yeah, it is pretty. Pretty
it
good.
Is.
All right. That is worth full points. And now we move to Erica. Are you ready for your gimme?
Yes. Well, okay.
Come on now and meet everybody and hear us sing. When we're singing,
Oh my god, the scan shit is brutal.
That's rough.
Boy, that's going to be The Walking Dead. No, that's the Parker family.
Oh my god.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on,
watch Benson.
All right, Tarn. There we go. The most gimme of the gimmies is for Tarn. Oh, no. Here you go.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
We get it, between two
this
things.
Is the dimension of imagination.
All right, what's that show?
The Benson Dimension? The Twilight Zone.
The Downton Abbey.
Yes, the Twilight Zone. All right, your gimmies are over. No more gimmies. All right. back to Kate. Are you ready for your next big lesser-known theme?
Let's go.
Can you become a new version of you? New wallpaper, new shoe leather, a new way home. I don't remember.
How do I know the song and yet I don't know what show it is? But hang on. New version of you. That's an early 2000s-y thing. I'm gonna guess. Dawson's Creek
is not correct. Let's throw it to your helpers for suggestions.
It's not a 2000s thing.
No one said
Dawson's Creek was what was come to my head too, but I thought that was wrong.
See, and then I was like Felicity, and then I was like, no,
thematically,
new version
from the
of
lyrics,
old Christine.
I was thinking Felicity too.
Yeah, those were my two.
All right, well, let's go with Felicity.
Written by J.J. Abrams, the second.
Felicity.
The
good
other.
For 2 points.
Shut up, Julie.
All right. All right. Erica, are you ready?
I am.
Here we go.
Vroom vroom sound at the beginning makes me think that there's some kind of vehicle involved. So, but boy, it seems too, sounds too early. For, you know what? I'm just going to guess. Knight Rider?
Incorrect. Okay. Let's throw it to your helpers. Suggestions for Erica. Not all at once.
I know the answer, Mr. Taylor, but do you?
No, Brennan, please.
That would be Magnum P.I. Whoa. And it's very inferior first version.
Right. So he sounds very confident, ships. So I'm going to trust my teammate with Magnum P.I. is my answer then.
Brennan was correct on all accounts in his
retelling
of that. Yes.
That, thank you, Brennan. The first one is very 70s. It's like Rockford Files vibes.
I suspect a lot of these are like going into the library at some dusty, dank, moldy place.
Sure.
And get something on the reel-to-reel. But, you know.
Yeah, fun fact, they actually took those out of the original episodes and replaced it with the inferior song because much catchier.
Yeah, as you should. As we heard on the I Am Not a Crackpot this week on the show. All right. Let's see. Back to Tarn. Are you ready? Here we go.
Okay, that sounds kind of sci-fi-ish. Maybe 90s-ish. I'm going to guess. I don't think it's right. I think I'm going to guess X-Files.
It is not X-Files. All right, let's open it up to suggestions from your help.
It sounds like it desperately wants to be Massive Attack, so House, maybe?
Yeah, I was thinking ER, but I don't think they would change the theme song.
All right, House, ER are your suggestions? What do you think?
It feels a little slow for ER, so I'm going to go with House.
Nice.
Nice. Cool. Thank you.
Peace.
That is absolutely, we can't afford the rights right now to Massive Attack. Please give us like Minor Attack. Yep. And
then, minor Skirmish.
Yeah. We'll figure out the rest down the road. Yeah, nicely done. Good suggestion. That is worth 2 points. Let's go back to Kate. Are you ready? Here you go. There's your 30-second clip. What do you think that show is?
Good Lord.
She reacted like her pet just took a shit on the kitchen floor when I asked her what that show was. Oh, good Lord. What are you doing?
What are you doing to me?
All right, what do you think that show is? Take a stab.
I'll take a stab at Designing Women.
That is incorrect. Let's throw it out. To your help. What do you think, guys? Suggestions for Kate?
Anything.
It's Deadwood.
Deadwood?
Is it Deadwood? There's no way.
Oh my God,
watch that show all the way through.
What was that Burt Reynolds show at the same time as Designing Women?
See, there you go. If you tell me things in a confident enough voice, I will actually entertain the thought for at least a second.
Welcome to fucking Deadwood. All right. Any real suggestions?
Evening Shade is the thing that came to my head, but I don't.
I mean, that was also mine. So, but I was kind of back and forth. So, yeah, Evening Shade.
Evening Shade? Incorrect. Here is the 10-second better known version of the theme.
It's jungle out there. Disorder and confusion everywhere. No one.
Oh no, my brain shut down.
Erica is so smug right now.
I'm not.
No. Erica's in the chat.
See your face.
Was waiting for this one. Apparently,
I was. But I'm trying not to be smug about it.
Can I still help her?
No.
Is it Monk?
Monk is correct. 1 point. Yes.
Thank you.
Nice. Pulled the single point out of the fire. Nicely done. Oops. All right.
All right.
Erica. Are you ready?
I am. Okay, this sounds like What If the Dukes of Hazzard, but The Price is Right, but I'm just going to go with the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, that's what I figured the answer was going to be for that one, for sure. Let's just give it up for this part, though. Incorrect. Let's throw it to your help. Erica's help. Suggestions for Erica on that.
Yes.
Well, you took the one guess I had, so.
Yeah.
Same here, so I don't know.
Something other, like, southernly. I got nothing else. Justified? It's not Justified.
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right. Not a lot of help from your helpers. So you want to throw another wild guess out there?
So I'll go with what's a southern-ish sort of based show? I have no idea. Let's I'll go with Designing Women again. Why not?
Incorrect. Here is the better known version of okay. that show's theme.
Oh, wow.
Boy, that sounds really familiar, but I cannot pull it. BJ and the Bear.
Yeah, that's not a bad guess. Incorrect. That is Simon and Simon. Oh, Simon and Simon.
Show's kind of boring, but that theme song's an all-timer.
It's really good.
Yeah. All right, Tarn, are you ready for your next lesser-known theme version?
When it's my moment in the sun, oh, how beautiful I'll be. But in a normal sort of way, like I am you and you are me.
I don't know this, and Lindsay looked really excited, but I'll try a guess. Felicity?
It's already been in this game.
Yeah, we already had Felicity. All right, let's throw it to Tarn's help. What do you guys
got? I can't remember if this is Taylor or Dan's favorite band, Clem Snide, with Ed.
All right, she's saying Ed the show is the part of the... Okay, Ed is her suggestion. You going to go with Ed?
Yes.
Watching the wide world rise and hide now. I'll be coming home next year.
I think the original clip you heard was used more in the show, but it's not the one necessarily. I think people recall from that one. Yes, Ed, good save there from Lindsay. All right, everybody's last question is coming at you. So Tara, can we get an update on Dem scores?
Yeah, Kate and Tarn are tied with 10 points each, and Erica has 11.
All right.
Ooh, doggies. It's very tense.
All right.
Whoa, okay.
Kate, are you ready for your last theme clip? Here we go. That slow jam for you.
Moonlighting.
Incorrect. Don't throw it to Kate's help.
I was also thinking Moonlighting.
That was going to be my guess.
Maybe Columbo?
Maybe Columbo?
Mrs. Columbo?
Mrs. Columbo.
Simon and Simon.
We just had Simon.
Simon and Mrs. Columbo.
I'm trying to remember.
Baywatch
what the...
colon Columbo.
Yeah. I don't know. Columbo, sure. We'll
incorrect.
Guess that.
Here is the better known version of the theme for that show. Both versions by the same composer.
John Mancini?
Henry Mancini?
Oh, my God.
Oh, the mascot's
Henry
best friend.
Mancini.
Michael Mancini?
Thank you. John Williams and Henry Mancini together. I'm really sorry. Can I hear that last little bit, the 10-second one again?
I will add, the suggestions you had weren't terrible.
Yes, I figured that. Oh, this sounds like something I would have watched in the afternoon at my house on whatever.
All right, we're going to need an answer.
Streets of San Francisco. Yeah, I don't know.
Incorrect. Anybody know this one? It does involve private eye detectives, that kind of stuff.
Remington Steele,
yes.
I knew it.
I watched that show. What is wrong with me?
I was going to guess Little House on the
such
Prairie.
Such a good show. Stephanie Little House on the Prairie.
I thought Wild Kingdom.
All right. Wow. All right, Erica, are you ready for your last theme?
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Okay. More vroom vroom noises and almost a Waka Chica sort of vibe. is this Knight Rider? Okay.
It's not. Rule. Let's throw it open to your help.
The vroom vrooms are good ships, maybe? Other things where people are driving around a lot?
Yeah, I mean, my other thought was Batman, but that doesn't sound great. Like it would, no.
There's a very Mod Squad in color aspect to it.
Well, let's see. I wouldn't know the Mod Squad theme song if it bit me on the ass, so sure, let's go with Mod Squad.
It is not. Here is your 10-second clip.
Fuck me running. This came up on... This was on a previous game time. There it is. I don't know. Let's say... Hawaii Five-O. I don't know.
No, not Hawaii Five-O. Somebody gave this as an incorrect answer when we had the last vroom vroom sound in the theme. That was Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, that was me.
I saved that realization for you.
Starsky and Crack.
No points on that one. All right, let's finish it up with Tarn's last theme. Here you go.
Moon over farm, I'll bring my love to me tonight. Guide her to Cleveland underneath your silvery light. We're going bowling, so don't lose her in Solon. Moon over Parma tonight.
The Cubs. I think that's the Drew Carey show.
It's such a crude attitude.
Wow.
It's back where it belongs.
All right, that is nice. Full point answer to end regulation. Whoa. Nice. Yep.
Holy shit.
Ooh, nice.
Whoa. We have a tie. Them on the backstretch.
Let's get them regulation scores.
Yeah, that answer changed everything. We're finishing with Kate with 10, Erica with 11. Tarn pulled it out at the last second with 13.
Wow. Holy cow. Nicely, nicely done.
Congrats. Very nice.
Well fought, well won. Before we wrap this up, I do have a tiebreaker. I definitely want to play it. Let's just play it for shits and grins. First person, I don't care who, to shout it out, wins Fabulous Things, which will be determined after the show.
Later.
Are we ready? I'm going to play you the 30-second weirdo one first. Let's do it.
EOC
90210.
Running One Jump Street.
Oh. What is that?
Walker, Texas Ranger.
I love that intro.
Sailor.
The eyes of a ranger. The unsuspecting stranger.
Sung by Chuck Norris, if I'm not mistaken.
Nice.
Wrong from right.
Oh, Lord.
Cause the eyes of the ranger are upon you. Any wrong you do, he's gonna see.
Let it ride. Let it ride.
Cause that's where the ranger's gonna be.
So, to recap. The Texas, the Rangers, and they're going to get you. It's just a first thought. Chuck Norris is in the microphone. Yeah, let's do it.
I love that it's double tracked vocals, and so he's actually like out of tune with himself.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that was a well fought victory. Nicely done.
Valued guest.
Yay, all right, Tarn, congratulations.
Yay.
Everybody, thank you so much. What a fun game. All right, guys, that is it. 9 contestants arrive. Battle it out. And at the end, fuck me. I'm so tired. That's it, guys. 9 contestants battled it out. And at the end of this game time tournament, our winner is Tarn. Congratulations, Tarn.
Yeah.
Hey.
We're listening.
I am David T. Cole, and on behalf of Tara Arietta.
Deadwood is the new Different Strokes.
Sarah D. Bunting.
It is a jungle out there.
And 9 contestants who came to play.
That's 0 points for me.
I'm unprepared for that.
Now that was perfect.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Extra Awkward.
Thanks.
It's quibbly bobbly. That broke me.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.